Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled The Value of an Exit Interview. Tom, most companies have processes or systems in place for sales, service, pricing, training, month-end reviews, and so on. However, few have a formal process in place for an exit interview. Is there really value in conducting an exit interview?
Well, Bill, prior to listening to that presentation, my response would have probably been something like, I'm sure there is, but that would be expected response. Having just reviewed the presentation, my response would now be totally different. The first half of the presentation deals with how to actually conduct an exit interview. However, the last part of the presentation is an actual exit interview with an individual. The information that came from that interview could literally be life-changing for companies if they'll utilize the information gleaned from that interview.
Well, Tom, I think you're 100% correct. Simply asking a few key questions brought out internal issues that management was likely unaware of in this particular company. And I think our listeners are really going to love this presentation. Patrick is one of Grandy & Associates' top trainers. He has over 20 years' experience in the HVAC industry in various roles, including sales, service, installation, and territory management for one of the largest HVAC distributors in the world. His product expertise includes commercial, residential, geothermal, and generators. His presentation style creates an engaging, learning environment where students implement proven strategies. Patrick's how-to approach helps any team unlock greater profitability to discover the pathway to achieve their goals. And now, with the value of an exit interview, here is Patrick Chapman with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
Thank you for joining me today for this presentation on the importance of the exit interview. Employers tend to be intentional with key parts of their business that must be managed to be successful. For example, sales, service, installation, cash flow, overhead. All of these areas are important and must be managed for company success. However, one very important aspect that is often overlooked is the importance of the exit interview for the departing employee. It is unfortunately assumed that little value can be gained from this conversation. Nothing, in fact, could be further from the truth. I would suggest it is important not only for the company, but also the departing employee. Lest we forget, employees who leave the company will share their experience with others. Years ago, people would share their experience with between 8 to 12 people. How about today? Social media makes this number much, much higher, whether good or bad. The more you can do to create an amicable departure for both parties, it will serve you very well. Let's begin by discussing what the exit interview is not. It is not a time to get dirt on other employees of the company by quizzing the departing employee on who in the company may not be satisfied. This actually takes the focus off of them and makes it about you. It's not time for venting by the departing employee or the person conducting the exit interview. This again will erode quickly and actually defeat the purpose. It is not a general conversation where topics ramble on with no direction. Instead, the exit interview is an opportunity to get valuable information for future hiring practices, as well as how to improve the culture and productivity of the company. Don't forget, you are in competition with other companies in your area of the same trade. If you are losing employees to your competition, you need to know why. What do they do, or what do they have that you may not be doing? Knowing why you lose is as important as knowing why you win. Most companies tend to know why they win the deal, but it's important to know why you lose, whether it's a service repair, maintenance renewal, or even a general quote. When someone selects another provider for any product or service that you provide, it is invaluable information to discover why they made that decision, if at all possible. That feedback will help you continuously adjust and always be getting better. The following is a list of best practices related to the exit interview. Provide a personal touch versus filling out an exit form only. To maximize the benefit of the exit interview, there needs to be a personal element. Ideally, meet with the employee in person. Technology has made this easier than ever before. If you can't physically be in the same space together, simply conduct the interview via Zoom or some alternate online platform. The key takeaway is the ability for their expression to be made personally, not just written on a page. You also want to provide a clear structure for the exit interview. Have a set time, for example, to start and finish. I would suggest approximately 30 minutes. During the interview, provide structure with questions that guide the feedback. Remember, your goal is to learn why they are leaving and discover any opportunity to grow as a company. In some cases, you might even discover that a few things could easily be adjusted to get them to stay. The following are sample questions to help you put this together. Number one, what did you like best and least about your role with the company? Number two, did you feel your achievements were recognized and you were valued as a team member? Number three, how would you describe the company culture? Number four, were you comfortable talking to your manager about issues or concerns? Number five, did you feel supported by a clear process of training and development? Number six, did you have what you needed to do your job effectively? Number seven, how well was the company mission and purpose lived out on a daily basis? Now, let's pause to ask a question. How well have you defined this area for your team? Do they know why you do what you do? Do you have a clearly defined purpose and strategy of implementation? Most companies tend to focus on the what far more than the why. The why, ironically, is actually what guides you day to day. For example, let's do an exercise in the HVAC industry. According to a recent survey by Contractor Magazine, it reveals 80% of those that were surveyed viewed all trade contractors the same. Now, you and I both know that is far from the truth, but that is the public perspective that is in place. So perhaps from that, our why could be as follows. We exist to challenge the way HVAC companies are viewed today. Okay, if that's the beginning point, what could be our how? Our team of happy, positive people make decisions every day with our clients in mind to make doing business with our company simple and easy. Now, that may sound very random to you, but I promise every word of that is very measured. For example, have you ever tried to do business with a team or a company that did not have happy or positive people? I have, and I can tell you that it was miserable. Would you rather have happy or unhappy people? Would you rather them be positive or negative? You get the idea. Also, our process, remember, is simple and easy versus hard and complicated. Have you ever tried to work with a company that had a very cumbersome process? Again, I have, and it was not a pleasant experience. So happy and positive, simple and easy. What does that terminology do for the team? It helps to set the focus every day for everybody. Listen, we all have personal challenges. We know that. But we also all make decisions every day of how we want to live, how we want to present ourselves, and ultimately, how we will serve others. This helps to set that focus. So we've identified our what. We just looked at the how, or the why, I should say, and the how. What could be our what? Well, we offer systems specifically designed to provide a healthy and comfortable environment for our customers. You could take it a step further and say, in HVAC, we're experts at conditioning the air. We heat it, we cool it, we clean it, we add moisture, remove moisture, bring in fresh air, and remove stale air, all with one goal, to provide a healthy, comfortable environment for our customers to enjoy every single day. If you have not done this simple exercise already, I would encourage you to gather a few key team members around and walk through the why, the what, and the how of your company, and then make sure that that is displayed and communicated, and most importantly, lived out every day through your team and your customer interactions. Question number 8 in this list of questions for the exit interview would be, how would you describe the effectiveness of company communication? Now, we all know that communication is more than just the transfer of information, isn't it? It's understanding how to communicate with others, and it is critical for company success. Do you offer communication skills training now? Did you catch that phrase? Communication skills are exactly that. It is a skill that you can master, and it takes practice. Do you offer communication assessments for your team to discover their communication style, for example, and how to recognize the style of other teammates, and most importantly, the communication style of the customers that you serve? If not, these would be a tremendous addition to your strategy of developing the effectiveness of communication among your team and your customers. Our team here at Grandian Associates would be happy to assist you in customizing these options. We use DISC communication assessments customized for every member of your team based on their role at your company. I'm glad to say that with the many dealer partnerships we have across the country, this has revolutionized the effectiveness of their communication. Now, DISC has been around for a long time. You can take a free DISC assessment online at your leisure and get a 1 or 2 page report. Ours tend to be somewhere between 20 to 30 pages. It is very involved, very practical, and provides a blueprint of how to really understand yourself and others, which enhances communication. DISC is based on 4 quadrants, the D, the I, the S, and the C, and you're scored in each of these areas. For example, your D score reveals how you deal with problems and challenges. So if your D score is low, you're not a real fan of challenges or difficult situations. If your D score is high, you've never met a challenge that you weren't ready to overcome. You take the bull by the horn, if you will. You dive in and say, you know what? We'll figure it out as we go. The I, your I score would reveal how you deal with people in social settings. If your I score is high, when you walk into a room of people you don't know, you get excited. You say, look at all these wonderful people that I get to meet and interact with, and maybe we can share information or perhaps connect on LinkedIn or partner on a future project. If your I score is low, when you walk into a room of people you don't know, you are perfectly contented to find a quiet place in the corner, sit down, and you don't feel like you're missing anything. That's actually where you prefer to be. And those aren't right or wrong, they just are. Each of us have parts of all four of these as part of our communication style and our makeup. How about the S? If your S score is high, it reflects how you deal with pace and consistency. You say that smooth and steady wins the race if your S score is high. If your S score is lower, you lack more variety. You get kind of bored with the same old routine. Last but not least, the C. The C score reveals how you deal with rules and procedures. If you've ever been told in your life you're very analytical, you're probably a pretty high C. You believe there's only one way to do something, and that is by the book, stay in the lines, follow the rules. If your C score is lower, you say, you know, look, rules and procedures, really, that's only a suggestion, right? There's lots of ways to approach it. Now, none of these are right or wrong. They just are. Here's what I can tell you. When your team understands themselves and each other better, communication improves, which means your customer service improves as well. Happy teams provide a much better customer experience. The last question in your exit interview is actually the most revealing. Goes like this. Would you recommend this company to others? Now, don't always assume the answer is going to be no. In fact, we're going to hear an example at the conclusion of this presentation today of an exit interview that I was given permission to guide a young man through, and his answer to this question will surprise you, especially when you hear how he answered all the questions leading up to this particular one. The person conducting the exit interview must remember to listen more than they talk. Take great care as you hear the answer to these questions not to become defensive. This is not a time to try to justify actions or company policy. You have asked for the employee to share their honest assessment of their experience with the company. Allow them to express it, even if you may disagree. Let's hear this process in action. I will be guiding an employee who was recently in a food service industry through their exit interview. The employee's name is Gabe. Let's get started. Gabe, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I will give full disclosure. I do happen to know Gabe on a personal level. He had transitioned from his company and did not have the benefit of this exit interview. So I wanted to guide him through this, get his feedback, and I think we can all kind of learn from this encounter and pick up valuable clues of how important this step really is. So, Gabe, let me ask you, what did you like best and least about your role with the company you were with?
Well, one of the things I liked best was the diversity of positions that every coworker would be put on and myself would be put on. The relationships I had with my coworkers were very good, and it was very fast-paced.
Yeah, so those were some of the highlights, I guess, some of the things that really stood out to you. What about on the other side of the coin? What were some of the things that you liked least about your role with the company?
Well, sometimes the management would just keep putting you on the same position instead of letting you try something else. If you get good at one position, they'll just keep you there instead of letting you learn other positions and grow.
I see. Okay. Very good. So question number two would be, did you feel your achievements were recognized and you were valued as a team member?
No. There was no like praise or any compliments anytime you were talked to by a manager or coworkers if you've done something wrong.
I see. So let me ask you this, take it a step further. In the absence of, you know, recognizing your achievements, since that wasn't going on, how did that make you feel?
Well, I felt like I would go unnoticed. I felt what I did good was unappreciated, and any time I made a mistake, that it was a bigger deal than it was.
I see. Okay. How about number three? How would you describe the company culture?
Well, overall, it was a friendly environment and just a good time. But whenever we got busy, oftentimes people would get frustrated and with themselves, they'll start arguing.
Now, that would be people on your, I guess, on your team.
Correct.
Was that ever observed with any managers that would kind of get in that mix, or mainly just coworkers together?
Managers would get upset sometimes, and instead of trying to be a part of the solution, they'd become part of the problem, arguing with us. So
they would kind of get pulled into the fray rather than try to be neutral or guide to a solution.
Oh, for sure.
I got you. Now, again, as we're going through this, remember that Gabe, in his position with the company, he transitioned, and there was no exit interview that took place. So, as you can tell, as we're going through this, this is raw. This is not rehearsed. I wanted to get honest feedback from him, and in these first three questions, I think you're already seeing some of the effects. What he liked best, what he liked least, how. The lack of recognition or appreciation affected him in that role, felt overlooked. Do you think that affects performance? Sure it does. The more employees don't feel valued, they tend not to focus on a great customer experience. And then his comments about the culture. So I think we could agree already, this would be incredible information for any company to receive. So let's go a step further. Question number four. Were you comfortable talking to your manager about issues or concerns?
No. Anytime anything is brought up, they always thought of it as a coworker issue instead of management issue. They'd, sometimes they'd even get defensive, and instead of trying to create a solution, they just push away the problem.
I see. So, and when you had those discussions, Gabe, did you have to, I guess, initiate that? Was there any type of policy in place or procedure if you had a concern that you were aware of, or you just had to kind of make a reach on your own?
I would have to make a reach after hours on my own time.
Now, I'm going to chase that for a moment. So why would it have to be after hours? And for clarity on Gabe's position, this would probably be best said at like after his shift. Why would that be the ideal time to do it?
Well, because the managers there, they always thought they were too busy, even if it was going slow, because I worked in a fast food restaurant. Even if it was going slow, the managers thought always to be busy, and they didn't want to talk to anybody unless it was a customer or absolutely needed.
I see. And for those of you maybe listening to this that have had similar backgrounds, I think we probably could all agree there's probably some level of legitimacy. Certainly in the middle of a shift, things can get hectic. I think an overarching theme that we're seeing here is, you kind of have to push your way in. There isn't recognition or value and things of these nature, of this nature. So again, what you want to peek over our shoulder in this conversation is not whether you disagree or agree with Gabe's assessment. It's from a exit interview perspective, what can be gleaned from this that could help make the company experience better moving forward for future hires and the other team members that remain. So let's continue in our journey. Question number five. Did you feel supported, Gabe, by a clear process of training and development while you were there?
No. I actually was never trained when I started the job, and quite often I would have to pick up things on my own or talk to a coworker and ask them questions. But I was never put in a actual training scenario with management.
I see. And as we were talking before, coming on air with this recording, Gabe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the organization you were with, which we are not going to name here, obviously, but Didn't they have some training videos and some type of an onboarding process that others had been through, but actually when you came on board, you really weren't exposed to any of that?
That is correct. I didn't find out about that till later, after I've learned most of everything I need to know, which even sometimes managers would tell me I was wrong in doing so, even though I was never trained accurately.
So as we're listening to this, ask yourself a tough question. How was your onboarding process at your company? How many of your team members may feel the way Gabe is describing? You may not have pre-recorded videos or whatnot. This company actually had, and I have, through other people that I know have worked for this organization, really commended the onboarding process when it was followed. It just so happens in Gabe's, onboarding experience, none of that took place. He was kind of tossed in and had to learn on the fly. And as you heard him say, he actually was reprimanded a couple of times from a manager basically asking, hey, why are you doing it this way? And it's kind of the way Gabe learned to do it, because he had to just pick it up as best he could. So I think some real good lessons for all of us on that point. Number six, Gabe, did you have what you needed to do your job effectively in the role that you served in there at the company?
I had all the equipment I would need. That is something the store was good at. It was always stocked, very good for employee equipment. But I always didn't have the understanding, especially when I would first pick up a new piece of equipment.
I see. And that kind of goes back to the previous point where you have access to the physical items you need, but maybe not the proper training of exactly what to do in certain circumstances.
Yes.
I got you. Guys, I'm telling you, as we're going through this in working with contractors all across the country, Gabe has been kind enough to to come on today and kind of, walk us through the process. But far beyond just, a service industry job or in food service, no matter what you do, the same principle is there. And as we're hearing this, I want you just to kind of be comfortable in your own skin if you happen to be the one conducting the exit interview, because you want to hear honest evaluation. Remember, we can't ask for feedback and then try to justify or try to say, well, but you don't understand, or it should have been this way or that. If we've got to let each employee share their experience, because right or wrong, it was real to them. So again, just keep that in mind as we go through. So, Gabe, a couple more questions. Number seven in our journey as we're going through this exit interview, how well was the company mission and purpose lived out every day?
Well, I felt like the environment of the store had a good purpose, and oftentimes it was handled out towards the customers very, very well. Even oftentimes, it was a little cloudy on the mission of the store. But towards the customers, we were always very respectful, very, very polite. And so on that subject, it was very good.
So now, just something you said there, I'm going to ask a follow-up question. Did you feel like sometimes the company was more on mission with customers than team members?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I picked that up as he was talking, and no doubt probably many of you did as well. Listen, always remember that your team members are also, in most circumstances, your customers, or you want them to be. Now, whether it's a food, industry job, the people who work there, you would hope would also be customers of the place. Or if you're in plumbing or heating or electric or landscape or pool and spa or whatever, your team members hopefully also are your customers, because they believe in what you're doing and they see your mission and purpose lived out every day. So always remember that we don't want to just be on point with external customers. Let's make sure that we treat our internal customers, which is our employees, with that same mission and purpose every day. Question number eight. Gabe, how would you describe the effectiveness of company communication.
Among the teams on the shift, it was always very good. I would work in the kitchen sometimes, and between the chefs and the people who were preparing the food, it was always very good communication. We were always talking. But the communication between management and general, it wasn't very clear. Management sometimes would come in and ask us how we were doing things a certain way, and sometimes it would get to the people, the employees, a little frustrated with the management because they would come in out of nowhere and just tell us how to do the job.
Now, if I were in a company and Gabe were sharing this feedback, conducting the exit interview, I think a step that would be okay to go further with this is, how could that have been made better? What could have made that communication better? Because clearly, among the team members, the communication is good. There seems to be camaraderie there, which that's important, that we have a good, easy flow with the people we're working with. But it doesn't sound like that communication was coming top down into that group very effectively.
The management, there was usually just one manager overall on shift, and sometimes they would act as the top dog and try to come in and fix things the way they think it should be. And every manager had a different style that they wanted. And that really just, made problems within, and it was difficult. It was different every day, almost.
Now, that was a mouthful right there. You guys that are listening, if you catch that, I wonder how common that is. I would bet you that happens a lot, where managers, even at the same company, do things differently. So sometimes the word from one manager is, hey, do it this way. And maybe the word from another manager is, do it this way, or department leader, or whatever that terminology would be with your company. That kind of goes back to mission and purpose. As we were going through our presentation, we talked about discovering your why and aligning under that. It really comes back to that. If we're going to communicate that effectively to our customers and our team members, we have to be very clear on what that is and align everyone to that purpose. So that was really good, Gabe. I appreciate your candor on all of these. So one more question, and to me, this one really tells the tale. Would you recommend this company to others?
I would, yes. And for very certain reasons, it's very good on the schedule. They work with you any way they can because they understand that life can get very, very busy for some people. It's as it was for me, it's a very good starter job. It's everyone's nice there, even though sometimes it can get a little messy and frustrating, but it's overall a good job, even with the mistakes it has. It's very minor mistakes, and if they fix those, it could be a very good place to work.
Now, how about that? If you're conducting this exit interview, where would you go with that? I would certainly want to explore a question with Gabe. Well, Ben, I appreciate you saying that. Is there a way that we could make a few adjustments and get you to stay? Always ask that question. If at this point, your last question to the person that is, leaving or in the process of leaving the company, if they say, yeah, I would recommend you guys, don't just leave it there. Say, what could we do, for if anything, to make some adjustments, to open the door, to continue staying? Because listen, there's nothing more valuable than an employee that would recommend you to others. There's really no higher praise they could give you. Now, how many of you listening to this interview with Gabe would have thought his answer would be yes? I bet you there's several of you that thought, oh, he's not going to recommend this company to others. Because of those questions, there were issues with scheduling that he mentioned early on. He didn't feel recognized and felt kind of alienated in some of the positions that he would be put on. The company culture, was not really a stellar answer. There was no clear pathway to communicate issues to management. There wasn't the onboarding procedure, training and development was lacking. In fact, a good part of those questions had what could be considered somewhat of a negative answer. And yet, would you recommend this company to others? He said that he would. So a great, great lesson to be learned where that is concerned. Listen, Gabe, thank you for taking time to do this today. Again, this was raw. You know, this was not cleaned up, and this was not intended to be a perfect little out and back. I wanted to get his honest feedback just to illustrate and kind of give you a flavor and a feel of going through these steps, these questions, and the process of the exit interview. So listen, for all of us here at Grandian Associates, thank you for joining me today for this presentation on the importance of the exit interview.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandian Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandiassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandian Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.